want to thank everybody watching on Warriors.com as well as NBC Sports Bay Area, and welcome to Thrive City and hanging out here. Initially, Bob Myers will talk about Klay Thompson's injury update, and then we will have our draft picks, which is obviously an incredible day for them and their family, and really a realization of a lifelong dream. So question-wise, be a little bit different. With all the protocols, Bob has been tested, I've been tested, the players have been tested, which is why we don't have a mask on, and we are 6 feet away, so we're definitely in accordance with everything in the city. We will not have informal questions and gatherings afterwards, so this is the time to talk to Bob and talk to the players. Raise your hands, identify yourself, and we'll do it that way. I know we normally will do some Q&A and then have a breakdown session. We're unable to do that health and protocol-wise right now. So those are kind of the rules of the road. So, Bob, why don't you address Klay Thompson's injury situation and kind of your thoughts and where we are as a team regarding that.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks to everybody that's here. I want to apologize to the Wiseman family and representatives, and also the Mannions, that we have to do this today regarding Klay. This is their day, and I'm happy that we're splitting it up and having the Klay questions now. So like Bob mentioned, if you have the Klay stuff, let's do that now, because after this segment, it should be about them. It's a huge day and an exciting day for these young men, and let's celebrate that. In regards to Klay, I don't know what to say. I mean, everybody knows now, but there's a lot on my mind. Spoke to him yesterday, spoken to some of our other players, got the news. Sitting next to our owner, Joe Lacob, and Steve Kerr's 4 or 5 feet away. And when you get those phone calls, and I'm not comparing this to what a lot of people are going through right now. I don't want to make that comparison, because there's people that are suffering and you know illnesses that can't be cured that are going on out in the world, and especially now. But in our job, in my job, these are those phone calls where your face, you know, the color drains from your face. And got a text message from his agent and said, "Hey, Klay might have hurt himself. Call me." And what I do, it's not that we can't deal with these things. We do, and we will, and we have. But speaking for myself and our owner and our coach and all the people I work with and our players, what hurts the most, and speaking on behalf of Klay, We will move on, and we will be okay, and he will be okay. But what hurts the most is the time we put into our jobs, the sacrifices we make to do what we do, and to do what he does. And for him to have to now not be able to play basketball, that's the pain. That's the pain we feel for him. Being here from day one, since Klay showed up 9 years ago, or however many years ago it was, watching his journey, watching his growth. Nobody deserves this, and like I said, nobody deserves anything like this that befalls them, but this is a guy that loves basketball. He bleeds basketball. We talked today, and I told him, I said, "Klay, I feel like for you, basketball is like air and water. You have to have it." And he just told me, he said, I've never not played basketball. I just, since 2000, or since whatever, 20, however many years ago, he's always played basketball. And it's very hard for an athlete, you know, sometimes you get to stop playing on your own time and on your own terms. And Klay's going to keep playing. But when it gets disrupted like this for an athlete of his caliber, it hurts. And it hurts us that care about him. I'm sure our fans that follow us, you know, feel the same way we do. And so, Bob, it's, I don't know. I can't sit here and say I feel good. I have confidence in our players. I have confidence in our coaches. I have confidence in our ownership. We're going to keep moving. We're never going to stop. But to be truthful, this hurts. It hurts me, and I know it hurts our organization.
Is there anything, without betraying any confidences, that you can share regarding his injury and the prognosis to fully recover and be Klay Thompson himself again?
I spoke to actually Steve was there in LA today. He's obviously here, back here now. Flew out last night. Our trainer was there. To be fully transparent, I haven't had a lot of time. we got a lot of my job, our job. Time's not going to wait for the Warriors. They don't. I think people feel bad for us, but they don't stop for us. The league's not stopping for us. So we got to try to do what we can and get ready for next season. It's an Achilles tear. Prognosis for full recovery is very good. I'm sure I'll talk to the doctor that saw him at some point and talk to our trainer, but nothing. I don't want to share like the ins and outs. I don't know enough to know,
but it's totally understandable.
It's an Achilles tear, and we all kind of know what those mean. As far as degree and recovery time, I can't. Please give us a second to answer that question. Likely not playing this year. I mean, that's all I can say. I don't think anybody's saying or he's coming back, and I don't think anybody does in that time frame. So that's probably what I can say.
The other thing too is just where he fits in the friendship level of the team. The one thing with the Warriors that is so different from a lot of professional teams is there's a bond and a friendship through tough times and success, and we've all been together for such a long period of time that you almost heard as much on a personal level as where we're going to miss him professionally because of who he is.
Yeah, and for those of you that are brand new, like I said, the Mannion family, the Jessup who's not here, and the Wiseman group, you will hopefully get to experience what makes us unique, in my opinion. Hopefully, in your journey and time with us, you'll find out who we are. And you have an idea of who we are. Maybe you've seen us play and win, but you don't know me. You don't know our coach. You don't know our owner. But in time, you will. But that takes time. And it takes pain. And it takes joy. And it takes all of it. And so when you talk about Clay, we've been through that with Clay. We've been through a rookie that couldn't make a shot that people laughed at and called him Clay up because he couldn't make a layup. Quiet guy. For those of you in the media that have followed us and fans, this guy was a man of few words. I've watched him grow into a man. I've watched him win championships. I've watched him lose. I've watched him hurt himself in the NBA Finals. I've watched him rehab. We're going to watch him rehab again.
We watched him score 37 points in one quarter.
Watched him break the NBA record for three-pointers in a game.
In a game.
That's how you get to know somebody. So, yeah, it hurts. It hurts the longer you get to experience life with people, the more pain you have. But that's why you get invested in these relationships. That's why it's special. That's why over here, maybe there'll be a statue of that guy. But I lean on our owner. I mean, I lean on our coach. I lean on our players. We call Steph Curry. We call Draymond Green. I mean, it's pain. But these are the same guys you hug when you get the trophies, too. So you got to know somebody. You got to go through the battles with them to really feel what we feel right now as an organization.
If you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand if this is the time to kind of discuss this with Bob, or if you have questions regarding Clay's injury update, just kind of wave at us, and then the next part of the press conference obviously will be the fun part and the realization of just great things happening for two young men with the Warriors. So feel free to start it off.
Anthony Flores with NBC Bay Area. Bob, just wondering what Clay's mood was like when you talked to him this morning.
I don't know, probably what you'd expect. I mean, Clay has a strength of will, but right now it's a tough day for him. You know, it hurts. He'll get to a place, I think, where he's on the road. But right now, you know, like you or I or anybody, this is a tough day for him to hear that news. It's hard. It's tough.
Hi, Bob. Janie McCauley from AP. Seeing all the young guys contribute this past season, when you were without Steph, when you were without Clay and Draymond, how much does that experience for so many young players that they got help you going into this, you know, missing Clay again? It's devastating, but these guys showed their energy and what they could do thrown into the mix.
Yeah, I'm you know, in regards to how we responded last year, obviously our record was bad. That hurts. That hurts if you're a competitor. It hurt all our players. Nobody wants to lose. But I mean, you learn a lot about an organization in adversity. We got some more now. Life isn't, look, we've had our highs. We're going to have our lows. It doesn't pick and choose. It just is. And today and last night and yesterday, it's one of those hard ones. But like you mentioned, I admired the character. And Steve could speak more than I could about our team didn't break. I mean, what makes I was talking to a general manager of another team the other day, and you know, they got their own issues, and I said, the challenge in these times is staying together when your fabric is tested. And our fabric was tested last year, and people don't know it, and our record was 15-50, but we didn't break as an organization. You know, we didn't falter. We didn't start blaming people, and that's hard to do in this day and age. There's a lot of pressure, external, internal. So I was proud of our young players, proud of our veterans, proud of our coaching staff, proud of our front office. It's the hardest thing to do in sports is to keep your team connected. Winning or losing, that is the number one thing.
Hi, Bob. Chris Alvarez from ABC 7 over here to your right there. If you can, to what extent, tell us what the conversations were like when you broke the news to Steph and Draymond.
You know, I've learned in life, sometimes words don't do it. It's not news you want to break on the phone, but that's how it was done, and a lot of silence. I don't know, I was with Joe and Steve and Kirk, and probably what you're hearing right now, nothing. What are you going to say? Those guys have been in it more than I have with Clay. There's no better bond than players with players. So I can't experience it from their standpoint. I know it hurts.
Bob, kind of looking, unfortunately, you had to look forward as well. And next man up, there'd been talk about Kelly Oubre agreeing to a deal. You have the $17 million trade exception. Anything you could share about where you guys go from here in terms of trying to fix the big hole that Clay left?
Yeah, Mark. I mean, we got this news, and we found ourselves with a hole at a position that we can't find many better guys to fill than a Clay Thompson. So now we write our board up, and we have under the two guard position, we had a blank space. That, you know, after processing that, like you mentioned, the league's not waiting for us. We got to do what we got to do. So we're exploring a lot of different things. I mean, I'm not saying this because the guy's 15 feet away from me. I am so lucky to have an owner and an ownership group like I have. And I don't know if the fans know how lucky they are. My boss wants to win. My boss has never said, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'd like to thank him for giving myself and our front office the opportunity to be aggressive, because he wants to win. I could say he's doing it for the fans. He does it for them too, but he wants to win. And I want to win, and our coaching staff wants to win, and our players, our whole organization. But it is a business too, and sometimes, you got to look at that part. But he does, in all fairness, I've been here 10 years. It's been about winning. So, Mark, we're going to keep looking at what we can do and fill in that position and try to get the best player we can. Nothing's done as far as what you suggested or anything yet, but we got to look hard and look fast. And probably shouldn't even be up here. I should not even be doing this right now. But I got some great guys I work with that are working right now on what we can do. And so we got to fill that position and give our fans and our organization and all the people that support us the best chance to win next year that we can.
All right. Two more questions.
Hi, Bob. Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Is there a way you could put into words what Clay means to your team and your fabric?
Yeah, I mean, I no, but I will try. Clay is... I've never met anybody that doesn't like Clay. I talked to somebody today, an opposing coach just called me, and who I really admire and respect, called and said, I'm very sorry about Clay. And I said, I think there's two players in the NBA that everybody likes and respects, without a doubt. And I'm going to say the other guy's name. I don't think I'm going to get in trouble, but I'll say the other guy's name. I think it's Klay Thompson and Derrick Rose. Everybody, those two guys, I think, are universally beloved. And how your peers feel about you in life, I think, says more than anything else. And he's one. I really believe that. And I think that he is admired within. He's admired without. And you can't put in words what he means to our team, means to our fans, our coaching staff, his teammates. He's, like Bob mentioned, he's the memories. I mean, and by the way, there's more to come. There's more Clay memories to come and more great moments. But no, I mean, I can't do it justice. I'd rather have Steph or Steve or Draymond or people that have been in it with him tell you what he means. But for me, it's, I don't know. You guys know Clay a little bit. He's a unique one, but a wonderful man and wonderful basketball player.
All right, last question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about the designated player exception you could maybe get with Clay. Where, how does that process going? And I mean, do you have to apply for it? And where are you at on that?
I got our trusty David Kelly over here, not working, by the way. He's just standing with his hands in his pockets. He's in charge of that, and we've actually had those conversations. We had to await kind of what the severity of the injury was to sort of go down that road, but we should have that answer soon and see what optionality that provides. Nobody ever want a disabled player exception roughly means you lost a player for a year. You never want that for any player. You certainly don't want it for a Klay Thompson. So potentially it's another vehicle to look at, and we're kind of doing this on the fly too. But it's a fair question, and it's something we've looked into.
All right, so appreciate everybody jumping in on that. I think Bob's addressed the Clay injury update, and obviously we've got free agency and other transactions, and Bob will be heavily working after today, basically after he gets off this. So our next step, if I can ask you, Bobby, to move over to that other chair, I will vacate this chair, and we will bring in two of our draft picks. Justinian Jessup is playing professionally in Australia, the 51st pick. We spoke with him today, but he's in Australia professionally. The second pick in the draft from the University of Memphis is James Wiseman. And the 48th pick in the draft from the University of Arizona is Nico Mannion. So the two newest Warriors are here. It's kind of a culmination of a lifelong dream for both of them. We do want to welcome the Wiseman family to our Warrior family. It's great to have you here, and also James' representation, and the same thing with the Mannion family, and also the representation for Nico as well. This is kind of amazing. Pace Mannion was a Warrior draft pick, 43rd, so we've got another Mannion coming. Guys, let's start here. James, we'll start with you. I've never met anyone that just took Mandarin for fun in high school.
Right.
Like, you're that wants to be a business magnet, philanthropy, phenomenal basketball player, and very well-rounded. But address the emotion from last night. I think that the one cool thing about the draft is we saw guys with their families and what that moment meant. And certainly being a Warrior meant something to you. Why don't you share that with us a little bit?
Just me going through adversity this past year, me not being able to play in college, really brought me down because I text my teammates every day. So really, just that focal point really just kind of settled in a little bit. But just knowing my mental toughness and how far I came and just putting in the work this past year really has brought me down to that emotional breakdown. But I just found myself and just was in an exciting moment. And this is a phenomenal moment for me. I'm just blessed to be in this position. So, yeah.
So, Nico, as you're watching the draft, we have to tackle Steve Kerr when any Arizona guys come up on the board. So that was really kind of a happy accident. As Steve had seen you play a collegiate game here at Chase Center, you've already played in this building. What was the draft night like for you and your family?
It was pretty much the same as James would say. I didn't go through the adversity he went through, not being able to play last year. But I think this 8 months for everyone in the draft was a long period of time to go through this draft process and ups and downs with the virus, not being able to scrimmage and play games. So I think it was just a rough time for everybody, and I think that kind of built up over time and kind of just brought a lot of emotions out last night.
Bob, what was it like in terms of a Zoom conversation with James, and then the league allowed you to go see him in person, and just, I don't think anyone's ever been scrutinized for 7 months before they were drafted. It's been such a unique year. Give us an idea of the thoughts on James Wiseman and why he was the Warriors selection.
Well, myself and Mike Dunleavy, Larry Harris got to see James Wiseman the last time he played basketball, which was up in Oregon. And we kind of yelled at him. We said, shut it down, Jay. Like, stop playing. You know, we'll take you. I'm kidding. I had no idea we were going to be as bad as we were at that point, or that that would be his last game. But, no, I mean, I don't know James very well. I'm going to get to know him. I don't know Nico very well either. That takes a lot of time. But in regards to, you know, James, myself, and Steve Kerr, and our owner, Joe Lacob, and Rick Celebrini went out and saw him. And, you know, oftentimes we try to get to know somebody. And my favorite part of James was we went to a very socially distant, outdoor, safe meal with him. And he showed up by himself. And I like that. I think these guys are going to, they're young, both of them. But they're in a man's world now. And they're going to have to grow up. And I feel like now, I'm a parent of three daughters. The best thing you can do is let your kids, they gotta be on their own sometimes. And he handled himself well. And we got up from that dinner. We said, what a pleasant young man. And Steve Kerr went to Arizona and Nico did. So I'm sure Nico's a wonderful guy too. But I sit here and what I see of them, and I don't know them as well as many of you do. I see a seriousness, Bob, like a seriousness and a maturity about the game. They're coming to go to work. We're going to need them. And it's going to be fun. And I'm excited to watch them grow and embrace them into our family and our culture. I think we're lucky to have them, and they're lucky to have us.
James, your path is interesting in that to have Penny Hardaway be your high school and collegiate coach, yeah, and then during this pandemic time, to be working with Dwayne Wade and LeBron's trainer in Miami, mm-hmm, there was a serious approach to improving your body and your game and kind of the way you embraced working at becoming a better basketball player, even only being 19 years of age. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this is the goal and the lifelong dream. And I'm thinking how weird it's got to be to have gone to a Steph Curry youth camp, right, and now be a teammate of Steph Curry's.
Right. I mean, it was a great moment just going to that camp and actually learning a lot of intangibles they taught me, just like different moves and giving me basic information on like just to
Steph
be
Steph showed you how to dunk a lot with given his size?
No, he taught me like a lot of guard skills and, you know, skills like this. So really just taught me how to just gave me advice, gave all the campers advice, just stay dedicated to the game and just don't take it for granted. So I learned a lot from him just from that camp. But, I mean, this past year, just me going through this training process, this pre-draft process has been great. I've been working on my body, my mind, and just been trying to be the best version of myself.
Nico, you've had an interesting road yourself into being born in Italy. You've played internationally as a 17-year-old for Italy, the national team. Having that international flavor as well as coming to the United States, you also have attended a Steph Curry youth basketball camp, and now you're his teammate. That, I mean, to me, the world's kind of coming together, and your dad having played in the league. You've seen a lot as a very young man basketball-wise.
Yes, sir, I have. I was lucky enough to go over to Italy and play U16s and then play with their men's team the year after. And those experiences were great for me. I learned a whole lot, and it's a different style of basketball over there in Europe. So I kind of tried to just learn that style and incorporate it and try to bring it back to the U.S. Just to have more in my game. So those experiences were great for me. And like you said, my pops was drafted here. So when I heard the news I was coming here, that was super emotional just because that was in the back of my mind as well.
All right, I got to ask you before we open up the question to everybody else, the perfunctory draft question for any young player is, who did you grow up watching, James? Model your game after, like their style of play, or maybe something you see similarities in what you would like to become as a player?
I'd say Kevin Garnett, just his versatility, him being able to use his agility for his size and just space the floor out, and just being able to run, rebound, and block shots, and just watching his tenacity for the game really improved my mental and just made me work even harder to just get to that point or just get to that pinnacle.
They always talk about jumpers for big guys. Like, dunks are still really cool, too. Like, don't feel, you know, right. Don't get rid of that part of your game. That still works
not at all.
Really good when you're 7-1.
Yes, sir.
Nico, someone that you enjoyed or emulated or looked up to basketball-wise besides your dad?
Of course, my pops. I watched, got to see some of his clips. But I'd say the player that I look up to the most and kind of watch the most film on and study the most is probably Steve Nash, just because of his IQ and the way he sees the game and plus the kind of person he is off the court. So I'd say Steve Nash alongside with my pops.
All right, if you got questions for either James,
Can I jump in and ask them a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
I don't know. I want to hear him say something in Mandarin to our – maybe our – we have a multicultural fan base. So I'd love to hear some Mandarin if you could say, like, I'm excited to be here. And, Nico, you got any Italian or – yeah, maybe some – I'm excited to be here – In Mandarin and Italian.
Now, James, you should know, I mean, outside of mainland China, one of the largest populations of Chinese Americans is right here in San Francisco. So yeah. They're going to check your Mandarin. So if you haven't been studying, don't say something crazy that doesn't work out.
What's your Jamusa? What's your Megwin Busa Jongren? What's your Jongwa Tai? Huh? What's your Megwa Tai? And what's Yuan Don Lacho?
And that was,
and that means?
I think he said Bob Myers is a great GM.
Nico in Italiano, please.
So contento di stare qua a San Francisco e giocare con questi giocatori e questa squadra.
Now, Bob's been in the league forever.
How great is that?
Well, no, the nice thing is...
I can't speak any language.
If you need to argue with an official, do it in Mandarin or Italian, and you will not get technical fouls. You've discovered a unique skill that will work out for everybody. So if you got a question for either the guys or Bob Myers, raise your hand. Get over Kareth. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to start with James and Nico, too. But I imagine the last 24 hours for you guys has been just a whirlwind. And James, as you were on the plane on the way here, what were you thinking about as far as a dream recognized that you will be an NBA player now?
I mean, it's a great moment for me and for my family. It was a whirlwind. As soon as I got drafted, I had a two-hour media session. Then after that, I was just celebrating my family. So just coming out here and just witnessing the great atmosphere out here and just the great environment. I mean, I fell in love with it as soon as I walked into the door. So, I mean, I can't wait to play. I can't wait to work. And I can't wait to just have fun with my teammates.
Same thing as James, really. Just the past 24 hours have been super emotional, I'd say. And I don't think it's really set in what's really happened yet. Everything happened so fast. I mean, as soon as we got drafted, figuring out when we're going to get out here to San Francisco and get started. So everything's happened so fast, but it's starting to settle in finally, and it's a great feeling.
Yeah, James, he mentioned, your jumper earlier. Where do you think your jumper's at? Do you feel comfortable taking NBA threes, and where do you want it to be as you kind of move forward in your career?
I feel very comfortable and confident in my jump shot. I've been working on my jump shot since college, since high school. I've just been using my strengths a lot because that's what you're supposed to do as a basketball player. But I'd say my jump shot has most definitely got better. It's gotten way more consistent, and I feel very confident about it.
James, it's been, I believe, over a year maybe since you played in the game. Yeah. What will it mean for you to be back on the court even in this crazy COVID environment? And for both of you, like, how much stuff do you guys have to do to get ready for practice? Is like just days away now.
I mean, it's a great feeling just to be able to go out there and just work hard with my teammates and just uplift each other and just make each other better every day. I've been, through this pre-draft process, I've been playing a lot of pickup games with pros, so I've gained a little bit of experience. But I'll say this pre-draft process has been great for me, but I just can't wait to get to the Bay Area and just work on my game and just uplift my teammates every day and just be a high character guy every day.
Really, for both of you, but James, if you can start, given the news of the last 24 hours, did it change at all your expectations of what you expect to contribute this season?
Not at all. Really, just to go in, just learn, and just grow and adapt. I feel that just me coming to my first year, it's going to be a lot, but I'm ready for it, and I'm ready for everything, and I'm just willing to go, come in, and just work, and just prepare, and just be the best version of myself, and just learn as much as possible and grow my game.
I'd say the same thing for me, coming in and learning, especially as a point guard, coming here and playing for Coach Kerr and playing with Steph Curry. I think there's just a whole lot it's another world. So I'll be able to learn a lot, and that's just really what I'm looking forward to the most.
James, this one's for you. Chris Alvarez from ABC 7 up here. I think it was Draymond who tweeted or put on Instagram a picture of you in a Warriors jersey as a kid. How cool was that? And have you talked to Steph or Dre or anybody yet on the team?
As soon as I got drafted, Draymond said, "Hey, Rook, as soon as you get drafted, I mean, ain't nobody not going to notice that you got drafted the next day, so be ready to work." And Steph actually texted me, gave me some words of encouragement. And so, I just can't wait to just put in work and just come in here and just have fun with my teammates and just work out and just uplift each other. So, yeah.
Have you had anybody coach you at the volume Draymond Green might be assisting your defensive evolution? He's been known at the four to put his center tag team partner in certain situations. I think you'll be enjoying that. I know Penny Hardaway was loud, but Draymond Green might have a few things to teach you defensively.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Coach P put me in a lot of challenges in practice in terms of defensive end. So I'm really ready to just take on that challenge and just grow my game and just get better.
James, you got to understand, when he yells at you or Nico,
right,
he still loves you. He wants to win so bad. Don't take it personally. He's yelled at me. I don't think he's yelled at Joe. He's yelled at Steve for sure. He's yelled at all of our teammates. He's yelled at Steph. He may have yelled at the media. That's just who he is, but he wins. So if you want to learn anything from that guy, he's a winner.
Yeah, he's also been Defensive Player of the Year. So he's usually yelling very smart things.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Guys, just wondering, and I know you're all about the work and where the world's different for everyone. Just look around this press conference and the restrictions. But is there anything you're looking forward to doing or seeing now that you're going to be here in the Bay Area?
I mean, I'm a food person, so I probably try to venture out to a lot of restaurants out here. But I mean, my main focus is just to get better and just stay in the gym. That's why I do all the time anyways. But yeah, that's all.
Like he said, I'm excited to just get to know my teammates, get closer with the staff, the coaches, everybody here, and just kind of get into this family environment. You can tell it's super friendly and family-like the minute you walk in. So I'm excited to be part of this and just excited to understand or get to know my guys and playing with them and getting on the floor with them.
Bob, have you had a situation where you talked to Steve in terms of normally it's a draft, summer league, free agency, then training camp, and then this is all happening within like a week to 10 days, and here's your draft picks that are going to be in camp December 1 and preseason December 12th, 13th, and a season starting up. I mean, it's going to be the most unusual year we've seen coming off the previous most unusual year.
Well, Steve, Joe, and I have been safely out and about visiting some players. So Joe, Steve, and I, we better like each other. We've spent a lot of time together, but I like both of them. I'm lucky to work with both of them, but this is a brand new environment for us. The pace of it is frenetic. Steph Curry just called me. I blew him off for the press conference because this is their guy's moment. It's too fast, Bob, but you know what? I get to work in basketball. These guys get to play. Steve gets to coach. It's that's not so bad, but it's a time where we all adapt and move forward, and I love who I work with. Steve, my favorite guy. So it's whatever we get to hang out and talk about basketball. Like I said, that's pretty fun for me, and Joe loves it too. And so it's one of my favorite parts is just talking about free agency, the draft, all of it with those guys.
Go ahead, Monty.
Hi, James. I spoke with Penny a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that when he first started coaching you back in your early high school days, that you really didn't really want to show a lot of effort to play hard defense and get physical. He said, but over time, you became more physical and more vocal. Just talk about your progression from when you were 14, 15 to where you are now in terms of getting more physical and vocal.
Really being young, I just had to adapt and just learn the ways on how to develop my game and just grow my game as a player. So throughout the years, I studied a lot of film on previous players that was leaders in the NBA. And also just studying myself and just trying to venture and just explore inside myself and see how I can get to that next level. So just by doing work on myself really made me become that player.
Bob, this one's for you. A lot of rumors about what was going to happen with the draft, but when James was available at 2, how excited were you? Because we all had speculation that maybe a trade or didn't know if they would, he would go one. So your excitement when you had him at number two?
We were very, very excited. You know, we had him as our number one player on our board, and you can't get any more excited than getting the guy that's rarely do you get to pick this high, and rarely do you get to draft the player that you like the most. We're also excited for Nico, too. We were thrilled that he was there. And, you know, obviously we got to know James a little bit more than we've gotten to know Nico. So excited about his game, excited about the person. I mean, it really becomes a family, and I see both these guys and excited to get to know them, but really seem like great people. That's a testament to their families. They don't get here alone. So thank you for handing them out. They're still yours. But we might get to see him a little bit more than you now. But you're part of it, too. So thank you for getting him to this point. And if you ever need anything, you can ask Joe Lacob. I'll be busy. But we appreciate you, too, because you raised these young men. And they're going to succeed or fail more on what you've done so far than what we'll do from here on out. So we're thrilled. We're excited that James was there. We're excited that Nico is there, and now we get to go to work.
So wrap up the last two questions. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, James, kind of a two-parter here. You mentioned facing some NBA guys during this layoff, just probably pickup ball, I assume. Yeah. Which players?
John Wall, Michael Beasley, Jahlil Okafor, and I'll say D'Angelo Russell.
Did you ever get out on the guards, having to guard them on the perimeter, some of that during the pickup?
Yeah, we did a lot of switches, and I was guarding. I felt very comfortable guarding the guards and stuff like that, so I did a lot of that stuff.
How important do you think that is to your progression in the league, being, you know, in the modern NBA, being able to get out and guard guys like John Wall out there?
I mean, it's super important because in today's generation, in terms of bigs, you have to do that. So I'm willing myself on the defensive end, in terms of the offensive end, more of the defensive end, just to improve my game on that end. So because it's going to make me a better player like that. So,
would you mind, Nico? Maybe we'll get Nico a ball. Could you do some defensive lateral slides right here, and we can answer this question right now, and then you can put up some jump shots. But Anthony's asking the right questions. I mean, we know I think they both want to work. But it's like anybody, it all takes time. But those are all the questions everybody's asking. That's the questions we ask, but we have confidence in these guys.
Hey there, over here. Kylan with Cron 4. This one is for James. I guess, how are you approaching the challenge of competing in a very competitive Western Conference and potentially being relied on to slow down the likes of Anthony Davis and some of the other bigs you might face?
I mean, just come in, just play my role. I feel that if I just play my role and just focus on the team concept and really just come in and just focus on the coach's game plan, then everything else take care of itself. Because I'm a high character team player, and that's the only thing that I care about is my team.
I want to thank everybody for coming out to Thrive City. We have all the photos here for the guys, so Bob will take pictures with James and with Nico as well. We will see you very soon in terms of preseason games and regular season games. And I think two great young additions to the Warriors as we get ready for a 72-game season and get back at it. It's been a long time since we've been playing basketball in this building. It's going to be fun. Guys, congrats. Congrats to the families.
Thank you.
And let's get this season going here. And Raymond's going to come up with the jerseys, and we will get all the photo ops out of the way as well. Thanks again for everybody for coming. Everybody watching at Warriors.com as well as on NBC Sports Bay Area. And thanks for coming to Thrive City.